You all think we're trying to, I'll say this tongue in cheek because I don't think you can really wear the scripture out, but I told Pastor, I said, we're wearing this first chapter of Luke out. Of course, I was scheduled a few weeks ago on a Sunday night and felt like the Lord had a message for the church, and then the preacher came by and took over the service, and when I began to study for this evening, I didn't feel like God was taking me the same direction. So if we can turn to the book of Luke, the first chapter again. The first chapter of the book of Luke, start at the fifth verse. We could stand for the reading. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years. Brother Heath, that right there is proof that she was not with him. When he said that she was well stricken, he would not have said that if she was with him. We discussed that in Sunday school. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Heavenly Father, we ask this evening that your presence would come into this place, that you would take these feeble words and these efforts that we put forth, and you would add your anointing and your blessings to it, Father, and touch hearts and lives, that we leave not this place the same as we came. We ask it in your name. Amen. Again, verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? And the angel responded. In verse 20, he said, And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak, because thou believest not my words. If we could for a few moments, I want to share what I feel like God laid on my heart. Believe in the gift. To believe in the gift. Brother Brian, I know that we had some words a while back, and you didn't feel like I enjoyed Christmas as much as you, because I don't choose to begin the listening to the music until after Thanksgiving, and we kind of had some back and forth on that issue as to who enjoyed it more. But it is one of my favorite times of the year. That's why I hold it sacred, and we'll leave it at that. But it is one of my favorite times. But I'm thankful, as a child, And if you haven't outgrown this, just pretend like you have and amen me and go along. But as a child, one of the most exciting points, Brother Brian, was the receiving of gifts. I enjoyed it. I remember laying under the Christmas tree and looking at the presents and playing with my G.I. Joes. I mean, I had a built-in forest for a month. It was great. I could play with them up in the trees and stuff. But I remembered those gifts laying around, and there was always that wonder and that curiosity of the ones that just happened to have my name, Sister Debbie, wonder what was in them. But as time grew on, and I suppose having children has a whole lot to do with that, the excitement of giving has seemed to overshadow the excitement of getting. I don't know exactly when that change took place. I don't remember a year where I thought, you know what, I this is more fun. It may have been that first year when Miriam was born. It could have been sometime before that. I don't remember, but I do know that there was a transition when there was more fun, Brother Jason, and going out and trying to find something. And I'm one that, if you're not this way, forgive me for saying it, but I was given a gift one time by a certain side of the family that will remain unnamed, a package of T-shirts, just white T-shirts. And I thought, what a waste. I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate, but it's, you know, if that's all the thoughts you wanted to put into me, then just don't bother. It just, for some reason, if you don't have time to put thought, Brother Keith, into a gift, then don't get it for somebody. To me, I enjoy thinking about something, and now I'm getting some people in trouble here tonight, and if you enjoy that thing, then you exchange T-shirts, that's fine. But I like to put thought into what I get somebody. You know, it just doesn't do a lot of good to get somebody with, Brother Steve was talking the other night about, I think his mom still wants them old rotary phones. It just wouldn't do much good to get somebody like that a gift card for iTunes. It just doesn't make sense. You know, when you get somebody something, it needs to be something that they need. And I thought when I was, you know, I see people shaking their heads, and we'll just go on here. But one of the real joys of that time is the anticipation that we feel. As children, we felt that anticipation. We looked at those packages, and we figured their size and their weight, and we'd shake them around, and we'd do everything we could to figure out what exactly was in that box, what exactly was in that package. My parents always had a little ritual they did. On Christmas Eve, we all got together. My grandparents would come back. We would open gifts. But Christmas morning, there was always one more big gift left. I figured out why they waited till Christmas morning. Because one year I got a shotgun, and he probably didn't want my grandparents to see that. I was probably younger than they would have approved at that point. Dad's back there shaking his head. But anyway, there was anticipation, even after all those gifts. Brother Heath, when I laid down, I knew that in the morning there was just going to be one more thing, and there was an anticipation. And I thought, as Christians, now I know the gift that we really received was Christ, but in this chapter we read, the beginning there, we're talking about John coming in, and he's the forerunner of Christ. And this was a gift given to two individuals. And the first thing I noticed there was it said, the angel said unto him, fear not, for thy prayer has been heard. We discussed this in Sunday school, so we're really working this chapter over this month. And the question was came up, and I looked it up this week, and that word prayer specifically means a request for a specific item. Need, petition for that specific thing. It wasn't just a prayer in general, although I'm sure that they did have prayers in general in their home, but it was a specific longing, a specific desire. I can imagine that those two people said, yeah, God, we have this need and we have that need, we've got these, but this is something that we long for. This is something that we truly long for. And there was a prayer given. There was a prayer given. I also looked towards the next chapter. It said, and when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, waiting for the consolation of Israel. It said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Jesus Christ our Lord. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple when the parents brought the child Jesus. Not only was he praying, but he was looking for that gift. He was looking for that gift. He wasn't just, he didn't just come down and say, I pray for it, I'd like to see it. But he actually expected that. I wonder what it would be like to be so engrossed and desirous of something. Brother Keith, when that came along, he said, now I've seen it. Take me home, Lord. To be so engrossed in that, that answer fulfilled your entire life. Brother Jacob, that when we saw the answer to our prayers, that we could be satisfied to the point where we could say, Lord, that's all I've wanted. I'm so content in you now that I'm ready for whatever you have. If you choose to take me home, I can go home and say I'm happy because you've done what I've asked. And Simeon was in that situation. But I also noticed that something that pleased, I don't know, every time I read it, I got to this point. It said that he continued in his work. Zacharias continued. He didn't get the news from the angel and drop his stuff and run out of the temple and say, go home and say, honey, guess what? Your prayer's heard. But he continued to serve and obey the Lord. Joseph. How many of us, if we had heard that our wives were expecting before, would have just gone home, gone to bed, and waited for the angel to come? But Joseph obeyed. When the angel came to him and he said, fear not, don't worry about this. This is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph accepted that and went forward in obedience. But there's more than just an anticipation. There's a reception of that gift. Brother Brad opened up talking about having a party. And there was rejoicing. The Bible said that many would rejoice at John's birth because of the anticipation of what he was going to introduce, what he was going to be. He was the forerunner of the Savior. This was something, Brother Heath, that nation had been looking for centuries. That promise had come, and they had looked for it year after year after year after year. They were in anticipation. But I thought when Christ came, there would be many rejoice at his birth as well. But if I could, there's one more point here I want to get to, and I feel like this is the thrust of what I want to say tonight. And that is the treatment of that gift. When Christ, after his time in the wilderness, he was returned and he was ran out of town. The treatment of him wasn't so good. We read that story in the fourth chapter of Luke. If I could, I want to share something. Several years ago, and I don't want to be insensitive, but several years ago, my wife and I received a call to a young girl. It's her parents' home, and we went out there and found her. She had a severely lacerated hand. Wasn't that big of a deal. We started taking care of her, put in the ambulance, and as we rode in, I don't even remember who was driving us in. It may have been 10 or 12 years ago. My wife and I were sitting each on one side of the cot, or one on each side there, this girl, and we began to talk to her, and of course we got her name and started to write down the information. And I recognized the name, and Of course, I don't remember exactly how the conversation opened, but she began to tell us about her brother. A few months earlier, her brother, coming home from Brookville from work, had failed to maneuver a curve, rolled his car upside down, was found with his head pinned between the roof and the headrest. Brother Jacob, she didn't have to tell me a lot of details, because that call has haunted me ever since I was there. See, I knew the details because I had to make the decision to terminate resuscitation efforts. It was one of the first times, Brother Brian, I had to actually declare someone dead. And it wasn't, Sister Judy, that I doubted that decision. It wasn't that I was felt maybe I was wrong. I went home. I remember going home that night and laying down beside my wife, and just I couldn't get through that one. For some reason, that one really, and I believe it was partially because of his age. He was young. But I remember talking to that girl on the way in, and we had a wonderful conversation, and she started to open up about how she felt that God had, in the last few months, had begun to put their relationship, her and her brothers, back together. That there had been some frictions, as there usually is with teenagers. They had probably had a few spats and fights, and I don't know if hers was particularly worse, but young people, don't ever think that it's not going to happen to you. And this young girl was sharing with us her story of how her and her brother had started to mend their relationship and how things were going so much better. She went on with her story, and she told me, she said, he recently felt like God had laid missions on his heart. Felt like that God had called him to a work in the mission field. And it sounded like to me a story where a young man had anticipated the gift and maybe even received the gift. But Brother Ryan, there was something, a detail that I could not forget. And that's in that vehicle. Possibly the reason for the accident. We found on the other side of a car a CD that dealt with suicide. My heart breaks when I wonder, did I see a young man, Sister Debbie, who had anticipated a gift, who maybe had received that gift, but at the time that he left this life, was his treatment of that gift such that he was not ready to meet Christ? Had he taken a hold of that gift at one time, Brother Brian, but had he pushed it away at the wrong moment? Had he pushed it away at the wrong time of his life? I was thinking in the scriptures, there's a story of a man named Judas who walked with Christ daily. He'd seen the miracles. He didn't read about them, Brother David. He'd seen these miracles. He'd talked with him. He'd been intimate in his relationship. They had talked, they had had deep, close conversations with the Lord. And maybe I'm wrong in this, but it's my turn to preach, so when it comes your turn, you can preach it your way. But a few nights before the betrayal, Christ was in a home and was anointed. And Judas got upset about that. And Christ kind of rebuked him. He said, "You'll have the poor always." And I've wondered before if maybe Judas got a little upset and angry, and if he used that as an excuse to let that bitterness and let Satan have a foothold with his anger, that he got rebuked in front of them. And well, he always treats John better than me, and he always treats, you know, if he let that take hold possibly in his heart. And we see that Judas went, he told him, he said, "I know where he's at, and for a price, I'll give you some information." I find it ironic that afterwards he takes that money back to them and says, "Here, take it back, it wasn't worth it." And the very ones that could take it out of the treasury and purchase blood said, we can't receive it back. We can't take that back. We can't soil our hands with that blood money. And the Bible tells us that after his treatment of the gift, Judas went out and impaled himself. The Bible talks about how he hanged himself. They didn't hang themselves with ropes in those days. But he impaled himself. He was so distraught. But I can't help but think at the same time, there was somebody else. Brother Tim, he also sold out Christ, but he didn't get 30 pieces of silver. He sold him out because he was embarrassed to admit that he was one of his. And we can be all high and mighty and pious and say, well, we would never sell Christ. But how many times do we avoid adding a part of our conversation in because it would maybe be hard to explain to somebody about who we serve? And we'll just leave that part of the discussion out, and we'll kind of skirt around that detail. We don't want to tell them that the reason I'm better is because I'm healed. Well, I just got better. We don't want to mention that we stood in a prayer line and that people prayed for us, and that's why we're better. Peter was ashamed to admit that. Brother Keith, there's one key difference. Peter didn't hang himself. But he did what each one of us have had to do. And if there's somebody here this evening that you feel like maybe in recent days you haven't treated that gift quite like you should have, there's not one of us here that hasn't had to turn around and go find a place and weep bitterly. There's not one person here that if you're right with God today, you haven't had to find that place and break yourself down and weep bitterly before him. Thought of a story. Music, you can come. I've shared this once before, and it was hard for me to share. It's not I don't mean to just, everybody talks about the preachers running off with the piano player, and that's kind of seems like an old illustration, but I was told this as it happened. If you've heard it, bear with me. There's a story of a pastor who had left his family, happened to be the piano player. He was gone for a long period of time, Brother Brian. And one day, his wife opened the door and found him on the front porch. He'd knocked on the door. If I remember, he was down maybe on his knees or laying on the porch, broken. It was hard for her, but she opened the door and let him in. And he found a place and began to pray. And he said it was like he was in a trance, and he saw a vision. As he prayed, he would beg God for forgiveness. And he would continue, he would plead and plead, and he said it was almost as if I would get to a point and I would see a vision of God, and he would look at me and said, he's gone too far. And he said, I'd start over for hours. I would pray and I would get to that same spot, and over again I would get to that spot, and I could see God look at me and say, he's gone too far. But he said that last time, as I got to that point, he said something was different. He said, because Jesus sitting there turned to his father and said, Father, I died for him too. My blood was shed for him too. And he said with those words, God the Father looked back at me and he said, forgiven. You see, there's something special about this. If we will truly believe in this gift, it doesn't matter how you've treated the gift in the past, because there's a place where we can find forgiveness and start over. There's a place where we can come back to him and say, Father, I admit to my faults. and my failures. And to me, I always can find hope in the idea that if Peter could, right there at the time when you would think your friend, the one you walked with, would need you the most, if he could turn his back and Christ still loved him. Brother Heath, maybe he still loved me. And I can promise you, he still loves you. I don't know exactly what each of you have been facing. If we could all bow our heads, nobody but myself and the youth pastor would be looking around. If there's someone here tonight that feels like you have maybe not been treating Christ quite as good as you could have or should have, there's no better time than as we celebrate his giving of himself to us and coming into this world. There's no better time than to return to him a gift of our hearts. You may say, well, you know, why would he want me? I'll be honest, I don't know why he wanted me either. But if he came to this world and willingly suffered as he did, then he must have wanted us. If he gave himself and came from heaven for you and I, then there must have been something that he saw that he wanted. And would you consider giving of yourself to him? Give your life to him as a gift this Christmas season. Would somebody raise their hand and say, I haven't treated that gift quite like I should have in the past few weeks, days, months, maybe just today. But I want to turn that around. I'm not going to ask you to come forward alone. But if you could just raise your hand and make that step. All right, church, let's come and find a place. And in our hearts again, let's find another place where we can be truly thankful and choose this season to believe in that gift that he gave to us.